Ramsey TV.
Hey everybody, this is Martin Zender at MZTV, doing what I was born to do here at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I got my hair generally under control today, but I never promised you a rose garden, did I? Yesterday I kept saying you have to have two ducks in line. Let's go with the ducks. Never said you have to have all your ducks in a row. I kept saying yesterday, two ducks, the death of Christ and the death of Christ for sin. But of course, I was just taking for granted the third duck, which is the resurrection of Christ. So I correct myself today. I corrected myself yesterday on the screen. But three ducks, quack, quack, quack. The death of Christ for sin. He died for something and he took care of it completely. And of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been talking about. I got a lot to cover here, that's for sure. A guy named, I think it's a guy, Miran Keshi, one of our faithful viewers on MZTV, had this comment to make. You're right, Martin. Always a great way to start a post. You're right, Martin. The Muslims believe in Jesus too, although in their vision, he's just a prophet and he's still dead. But if doctrines don't matter, why not join Islam? Or even better, the cosmic people of light powers. The cosmic people of light powers, never heard of it, who believe Jesus is one of the members of extraterrestrial civilizations led by Ashtar Galactic Command. Yeah, why not? Why not just believe that? If doctrine doesn't matter. I gotta look at that again. When I saw this comment, I said, this is great. Why not just join the cosmic people of light powers who believe Jesus is one of the members of extraterrestrial civilizations led by Ashtar Galactic Command? Why not? Who operate a fleet of spaceships orbiting the Earth. And that's the way science and science fiction have expanded the satanic lies. I said, great point. I think I'll read this on tomorrow's show. And here I am doing it. Somebody said, and this is a good point, somebody said, named Lounsbury, said, Martin, I need some cologne. I said, Martin, it's not that the Corinthians didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, they just didn't believe in the resurrection in general. Okay, I'll show you what is happening here. Let's go to the passage. Paul says, well, I know it from memory. You can check it for yourself. Paul says, how is it that some of you are saying there's no resurrection from the dead? Don't doubt me. Do not doubt me. In fact, okay, I'll go to the concordant literal New Testament here. I have my bookmark at Colossians 1 because where do you hear what I got in Colossians chapter 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here is Paul in verse 12. Now, if Christ is being heralded that he has been roused from among the dead, how are some among you saying that there is no resurrection of the dead? How are some among you saying that? They didn't actually believe it. And Paul proves that they did not believe it. He proves it to them by saying, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then neither has Christ been roused. So Paul uses the rousing of Christ to show the Corinthians that you don't really believe that there is no resurrection. So why are you saying that? See, he assumes that they're only saying it, they don't believe it, because it's just too stupid a belief. But again, A.E. Nock insists that they do still believe. He says they do believe that there's no general resurrection. He says they do believe it. And he says, well, Paul doesn't disfellowship them. But don't you think Paul would if they actually believed it? Because Paul sets forth the consequence of such a stupid confession as there being no general resurrection, no resurrection at all, by saying not even Christ has been roused. So that's a package deal. So for A.E. Nock to say that, these people still believe that there's no resurrection. In order to do that, after Paul's admonition, they would have to also believe that there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's fine with AEK. And that is absolutely ridiculous. I'll prove to you it's fine with AEK. This is him again from the Concordant Commentary of the New Testament. There's a notable contrast, okay, between the methods with which the apostle deals with fundamental doctrinal error and moral evil. The wicked man in 1 Corinthians 5:5 is delivered to Satan, but those who denied the resurrection are not put away. See, those who denied the resurrection. He's not saying those who were saying they were denying it. But in order to do that, they'd have to deny also the resurrection of Christ. He says that they did deny it. They're not put away. In these days, the contrary course is pursued. Doctrinal differences, not nearly so vital as the denial of the resurrection, are made the ground for disfellowshipping godly saints. Knock had a problem with that, as I'm going to explain why he did, why he was so soft, why he had a blind spot here. While moral evil is condoned and overlooked. Now listen to this. Differences in doctrine do not demand a severance of fellowship. He makes a pretty broad statement there. Differences in doctrine. He does not differentiate between essential doctrine, between the three ducks and the other ducks. That is the details, the maturity, coming to maturity, other teachings. And Clyde doesn't either. The problem with these men is they're not making a distinction between essential teaching belonging to the body of Christ and other teaching that perfects us, that brings us to maturity. That's the main thrust of today's message. Differences in doctrine do not demand a severance of fellowship, or Paul would have so dealt with the Corinthians who denied, again, Nock is insisting that they actually denied it. That denied the one doctrine, that is resurrection, which because it involves all others, has the right to be called fundamental. And when A.E. Nock says, quote, because it involves all others, what would that include? Obviously, it would include, it also involved the non-resurrection of Christ. If there's no resurrection, that is such a fundamental mistake, and it's such a fundamental teaching, that is, believing it is the teaching, the mistake is not believing it, that it involves all other things. So, Nock is really admitting there that even after Paul's admonition, even after Paul's logical presentation, that if you guys aren't believing in the resurrection, neither are you believing in the resurrection of Christ, the Corinthians are staying with that. Okay, Paul, if that's what it takes, we don't believe in any of it, as though Paul would put up with that. And as I told you yesterday, I kind of went over it too quickly. In 2 Timothy 2:16 and 18, Paul goes nuts, loses it over people who are putting the resurrection in the wrong place on the timeline. 2 Timothy 2:16, 18, from profane prattling stand aloof. They will be progressing to more irreverence, and their word will spread as gangrene. And he gives an example of irreverent people whose word is spreading like a terrible, horrific, virulent disease. And that is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth. Oh, the truth is important to Paul. I'll be darned. The truth is important to Paul. It's not important to others that I'm mentioning here. It's not important to them. Not important to them. Might be important to them personally, but they're so nice, they're not going to make it important for everybody else. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. Because I just quoted A.E. Nock. Again, he doesn't really mean this, but he says it. Differences in doctrine do not demand a severance of fellowship. See, but with the word fellowship, he's assuming that these people are members of the body of Christ. So, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's talking about detailed differences in doctrine. He's talking about not so important, not so essential differences in doctrine, like what should we eat, what day should we observe, What cities did Jesus preach? What's the route of Paul's first missionary journey? All these non-essential things. And there's many others non-essential. But he's not making the difference. He's not saying, well, you at least have to believe this to be in the body of Christ. He's making this broad statement, difference in doctrine. Differences in doctrine do not demand a severance. And he's including in that not believing in the resurrection. And he's including in that all other truths related to it, that is the non-resurrection of Christ. That's why I made a big deal yesterday saying that these men would accept into the body of Christ people who don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. They're not thinking, but you need to be warned against this. I'm going to read Clyde from the Daily Goodies because he carries on this insanity. Honestly, that's what it is. So Paul freaks out over Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred and are subverting the faith of some. This was Paul's concern, and it's mine, to subvert the faith of some, to wreck the faith of some, to tell people that, well, if the resurrection has already occurred, then we missed it and we're screwed and we might as well eat, drink, and do merry because we're done. That's how it subverted the faith. If the resurrection had already occurred, we missed it. Even Paul missed it. Paul says these guys they swerve as to the truth, and their word has spread like gangrene. For some reason, that word took off. That falsehood really got a foothold and took off. People started believing it. I don't know why. That'd be like me telling you, the snatching away happened last year. I have evidence of it. And you're all standing, you're all reading that going, what? Oh my God. Yeah, you would say, I'm giving up this whole thing. That's the problem when you say anything goes. Anything goes. We just want the fellowship. But fellowship, as I said, fellowship into what? Into what? Now, A. Enoch later modified his position. He modified it. I wish Clyde would read this. I've sent it to him. I had no results. Here's what A. Enoch says, I think about 15 years later, in volume 43 of Unsearchable Riches magazine. Listen to this. Perilous is the present period in which we are living, for these are the last days, quoting 2 Timothy 3:1. God has graciously granted us special instructions for this era written by our Apostle Paul in his last days. We are called upon to suffer evil. The saints will turn away from Paul and will not tolerate sound teaching. This, of course, is true of apostate, unbelieving Christendom, but it is not written of them, but of the saints who turned to Paul before they turned away from him. Here's the money paragraph. A. Enoch, volume 43, Unsearchable Riches. So impressed was I with God's grace. Here's the problem, I'm right here. I love him for saying this, but nobody follows up with this. I have to point this out to people who point to Knox's earlier writings, such as The True Basis of Fellowship. Again, A.E. Knox says, the true basis of fellowship is your behavior. What? How can that be when even people of the world can behave themselves? Atheists are some of the, you know, nicest, kindest, law-abiding citizens. They appear to have the fruit of the Spirit, love. I know atheists who have love, have patience, they have joy, they have kindness, they have goodness, they have meekness, they have self-control. I know atheists that have all these fruit of the Spirit, but it's actually not the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know what it's the fruit of their moral powers, because they're not believers, obviously. But so if you make behavior the basis of fellowship, what A. Enoch does and Clyde Pilkington today does, then we don't even look at what people believe. It doesn't matter what they believe. They can believe in the intergalactic space Jesus who travels around in a flying saucer. Fine. As long as you help old ladies across the street, I can fellowship with you. You're in the body of Christ. And we can sing songs together and read our Bibles. What? No. The basis of fellowship is teaching. Teaching. The basis of fellowship, the word fellowship is key, speaks of membership in the body of Christ, is teaching. Three ducks, quack, quack, quack. Death of Christ, percent, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, and these men do not emphasize that, they make these broad, sweeping statements. Doctrine is not the basis of fellowship. What is? Helping old ladies across the street. Being nice to people. Saying kind things to your friends. Not killing people. What? Atheists. I know a lot of atheists who don't kill people. And our friend Miran probably knows intergalactic traveling nut jobs who don't kill people. Oh, great. We can fellowship with them. No. No. No, we can't. Here's not. And the reason is because these people think that an era of grace equals an era of nice. I.e. Jerry Boschman. Era of grace, era of nice. An era of, it's an era. That was a Freudian slip. An era of lovey-dovey, because Jesus was lovey-dovey. Was he? I thought he came to bring a sword and separate people. Why? Because of the walls of the gospel. And the gospel has walls. Clyde doesn't think it does. Very dangerous teaching. Very dangerous teaching. Now I don't even know if I'm going to get to that letter today. I'm looking at my time. I think I'm going to have to, I guess, so much more to say. Oh, I'm going to have to continue this tomorrow. Watch, believe me, I could talk all day to you. This is the only time I feel good. Is when I'm talking to you. Knock says, A.E. Knock, Adolf Ernest Knock, compiler of the Concordant version, smart guy, learned a lot from him, as I said. So impressed was I with God's grace in this administration that I tried to have fellowship with my calumniators. Calumniators are people who they don't curse you, but they blaspheme you. A calumniator is someone who just blasts your character, brings false accusations against you. And A.E. Knock fielded this kind of crap his whole career. All these mainstream religious gurus would come after him, like from the Moody Bible Institute, and they try to disprove the salvation of all. They try to disprove God's sovereignty by insisting on human free will. And some of the greatest writings in the Unsearchable Riches magazine are A.E. Knock just putting these people under the floor. He would just blind them with science. He'd put them in the corners, tangle them into knots with scripture and with logic. And these people would be left gasping and pissing themselves on the floor because Knock was so good at defending the truth. So he really works against himself. And this is what ticked me off. This is what tipped me off. I had another Freudian slip there. When I was reading some of these defenses, is that these people that Knock was arguing against believed nothing of Paul. They believed nothing of the essential elements because they believed in the Trinity. They believed in free will. They believed in eternal torment, for God's sake. And Knock, at the same time he was arguing with them, he would say, "Now, dear brother, consider this." Dear brother? Now, dear brother, in what world are these people Knock's brothers? Well, we live in an era of grace. And see, Knock is realizing years later, and I'm telling you this, that he was wrong to do this. Now listen, dear brother, you're my brother. My brother. So impressed was I with God's grace in this administration that I tried to have fellowship with my calumniators and adversaries, hoping thus to win them and help them. To win them? You're going to win them by compromising after the whole gospel? Maybe if I'm nice to them and I pretend the gospel has no walls, the gospel has no delineating doctrines that separate it from intergalactic spaceship teaching, or that separate it from Jesus' dead teaching, or that separate it from there's no resurrection teaching, A.E. Knock thought in his ute, in his nicey-nice kumbaya, everything is grace attitude, would lower the bar in order to win people. Win people to what? He's trying to win them? This is the temptation to try to get so much, to think that you have to get so many people into the faith, and like Jerry Boschman says, how can you say that my brother is not in the body of Christ? Oh, because he doesn't believe in the death of Christ. Sorry, what do you want me to do about it? Lower the bar? Yeah, lower the bar because he prays 10 times a day. I don't care if he prays 100 times a day. What difference does it make? but he helps old ladies across the street. Fellowship is based on behavior. It is? No, it's not. It's based on teaching. Teaching. I tried to fellowship with my calumniators and adversaries, hoping thus to win them and help them. I did not realize this was not God's way in grace. This was not God's way in grace. Grace doesn't equal nice. Grace means that the message is gracious. But don't you think that it would take an acceptance of the message? Gracious is the message. It's not an era of grace, by the way. It's an era of BS. It's an evil era. This is an era of death, misery, and sin. Remember, I made that correction. We're in the habit of calling this an era, but this is an era of grace, and we want the era of grace to continue. No, this is an era of crap. Paul calls this the current wicked eon, Galatians 1:4. This is an era that this is the era of the cosmos that killed Jesus Christ. This era contains a message of grace. I will say that. This is not the era of grace. This is the era of bullshit. Complete and utter, almost complete, worldwide sweeping bullshit. That's the era we're in. Sin and death. That's the era we're in. We're in the era of error. We're in the era of disbelief. But this era contains, and the word is going out during this era of grace. It's not the era of grace. This was not God's way in grace. I should have seen that. This is A. Enoch correcting himself from the Concordant Commentary. Unfortunately, the Concordant Commentary is one of Knox's epic works, and that is the main thing that people are going by today, especially Clyde. See? We don't base any fellowship on teaching. Knock is saying, I made a big mistake. I did not realize this was not God's way in grace. I should have seen that since he had foretold their conduct so long ago, it is the fulfillment of his intention and will glorify his grace in the future rather than mine at present. I don't understand that sentence. I don't have time to go through it again and try to figure it out. I disobeyed his charge to shun them, 2 Timothy 3:6. Not seeing that this is his way of being gracious to them and will fulfill his purpose for them. Yeah, just like the guy in Corinth. He was shunned because of his behavior. He was screwing his mother, his stepmother. And Paul says, shun that guy to bring him around. So what Knock is realizing now that it's teaching that should be the aspect, the black and white aspect that brings the shunning. Now, when I say shunning, I don't think A. Enoch means either, that you don't have any social interaction with people. You just can't have fellowship with them as members of the body of Christ. I don't shun anyone. I love everyone, basically, almost everyone. Now, I don't love everyone, but I try to, I want to. I will never not have social interaction with people. I don't delete people from my life. I might delete them from the ability to make comments on my YouTube page. Knock goes on. Others who wish to exemplify grace in these last days are similarly inclined. These I would counsel to consider Paul's epistles to Timothy and Titus. In these dark days, when most of the saints harbor much traditionary, discordant teaching, it is difficult to have fellowship only with those who are fully agreed as to doctrine. See, he's finally making the distinction. Fully agreed. Of course we can have fellowship with those who are not fully agreed. Nobody's fully agreed on anything. Clyde points this out. A. Enoch points this out. We can't expect to not fellowship with people who are not fully agreed. Nobody's going to be fully agreed. Nobody in the body of Christ in this era is going to be fully agreed on anything. But these men do not carefully make the distinction between being fully agreed on things, which is practically impossible, and we should never base our fellowship with people on that. They don't differentiate between that and the essential doctrines of the faith. Instead, they make the sweeping statement that fellowship is not based on doctrine, period. That's the problem I have with it. Fellowship is not based on doctrine. All right, I got to stop there for now. Look at my time. I got to get this uploaded. I got more to say tomorrow. You better believe it. I have some comments from other people. Wonderful viewers, you make smart comments. in general on these videos, and I appreciate that. I'm going to read Clyde's daily goodie tomorrow, which is actually a daily baddie. It was earlier this year, and I do this not to disparage anyone personally, because I love all these men. I've learned a lot from them, from Clyde, from A.E. Knock, but I must maintain the walls of the evangelical, and even people who don't mean to be saying things that are destructive, they end up saying it. They end up making broad statements that they don't qualify. Other people buying into it think that you can believe anything and be in the body of Christ. And my friends, that is not the case.